We're joined now by Judith Enck, president of Beyond Plastics and former EPA regional administrator. Thank you for joining us again, Judith.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Alexis.
So in today's news, 122 environmental groups wrote a letter to DEC Commissioner Basil Sagos, urging him to enforce the plastic bag ban, as well as other things. Can you tell us about that letter?
Sure. So in the beginning of the COVID crisis, we appreciated that the DEC Commissioner Basil Sagos and his colleagues at DEC had to stay really focused on the health crisis. So we left him alone for a while, but now enough time has passed and it's really time to put the New York ban on plastic bags back into effect. I mean, it never technically went away. The state legislature and Governor Cuomo passed a state bill to ban plastic bags. The effective date was March 1st of this year. And you probably noticed in stores, many consumers shifted to bringing reusable bags, which was terrific. Now, in late February, a large plastic bag manufacturer from Long Island sued the state to try to get the law thrown out. Thankfully, the judge did not issue a temporary restraining order, but instead said, hey, DEC and plastic bag company, sit down, take 30 days to see if you can reach some sort of accommodation, which was a little weird because a plastic bag ban is a plastic bag ban. How do you reach an accommodation? But the state agreed to that. So the effective date essentially was pushed to April 1. And then, of course, the COVID crisis hit. So that deadline kept getting extended, and the current deadline is June 15th. And our message to the Cuomo administration is New Yorkers use more than 23 billion plastic bags a year. We think it's possible for policymakers to stay focused on the important urgent needs around COVID-19, but they also need to get back in the business of enforcing our environmental laws. So we very much want the plastic bag ban to be enforced. It takes over 500 years for one plastic bag to break down in the environment. These bags harm fish and wildlife. They clog machinery at recycling facilities. So people should never put plastic bags in their recycling bin. And on average, they're used for 12 minutes. And as I said, take 500 years to break down. So we are really hoping that the DEC will heed our call and inform stores that they need to go back to what the law requires, which is not handing out single-use plastic bags anywhere in the state.
Can you tell us how groups have been challenging the ban since COVID hit, or maybe some reasoning that they're using?
Well, the plastic lobby, big plastic, has wasted no time trying to exploit the plastic bag ban and other plastic reduction laws. Even in January, they were peddling this theory that because paper bags come from China and manufacturing is reduced in China due to COVID, there would be a paper bag shortage in New York, and therefore the New York law should be delayed. Now, that fanciful tale never turned out to be true. We did not experience a shortage due to less manufacturing in China. The industry has also written to the Trump administration. In mid-March, they asked the head of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, who was kind of busy in mid-March dealing with getting respirators to hospitals and increasing testing and contact tracing. But the plastics industry wrote to HHS Secretary Azar and asked him to actually put out a public statement saying that reusable containers are not sanitary, asking him to speak out against local laws that reduce plastic pollution. And I think we saw the results of that work last week when the Center for Disease Control, not HHS, but another federal agency, came out with guidelines on how to reopen restaurants. And they are recommending that even if you are eating your food on site inside a restaurant, not to go, but you're staying at the restaurant to dine, the CDC recommends that the restaurants only use single-use disposable plates, disposable utensils, disposable napkins and glasses and condiments. So this is going to be a huge solid waste problem facing every restaurant, even if they have dishwashing equipment. So it's been a kind of a scuffle with the plastic bag and the plastic industry lobbyists. So far, they have succeeded in getting some important plastic laws delayed, but thankfully, none of them have been repealed. So at Beyond Plastics, we are working overtime to try to protect the existing plastic reduction victories we have on the books, because it's been a very aggressive effort by the plastics lobby. And if people want more information on that, they can go to beyondplastics.org. That's plural, beyondplastics.org. I think we posted an op-ed that I had published in Newsweek just around Earth Day with the headline that a global pandemic is no reason to return to single-use plastics.
From my understanding, the virus actually persists longer on plastic surfaces. Is that anywhere in your letter?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. New England Journal of Medicine has a letter that documented that COVID-19 lasts for 3 days on plastic surfaces and 1 day on cardboard, which you can translate into paper bags. And there's no documented evidence that COVID lasts on reusable bags. And just the other day, the Center for Disease Control amended their website and said, obviously, the real concern is person-to-person contact. If you sneeze or cough or talk loudly or sing, aerosols can get to the other person. And if you're infected, even if you're asymptomatic, you can affect one or more other people. That's the main route of transmission, not surface contact. So we think there's no medical evidence to support not using reusable bags, and there's no medical evidence that reusable bags or recyclables, for that matter, are a source of COVID-19. So the second part of our letter to DEC Commissioner Stagos was a plea for his agency to write to supermarkets and tell them that consumers should be able to bring their own reusable bags to the store. Right now, there are some supermarkets that are prohibiting people from bringing their own reusable bags, and we think that is a mistake. And then the final request in the letter was for the DEC to tell stores that they need to start allowing people to bring their nickel deposit containers back for redemption. Since the pandemic started, the DEC sent out a letter to supermarkets saying they don't have to accept empty containers back as part of our state's very successful beverage container deposit law. And I guess I understood that in the beginning because supermarkets were really hectic and they wanted people in and out as quickly as possible. But just like supermarkets have figured out how to do social distancing at the checkout, they can easily figure out how to do social distancing at the bottle return areas. And we got some good news this afternoon. The New York DEC announced that starting next week, they are requiring that supermarkets go back and comply with the law and allow people to return their empty bottles and cans to stores. So that's one of our three requests. So we applaud the New York DEC for making that announcement today. We are grateful. We now would love to hear from them on the other two requests.
This has been Judith Enk, president of Beyond Plastics and former EPA regional administrators. I'll just remind listeners from your letter, Judith, that 9 million metric tons of plastic enter the ocean every year and that plastics are a byproduct of fracking. Judith, if there is any, let me rephrase. If listeners want to learn more or get involved with this issue, they should go to beyondplastics.org.
Absolutely. And follow us on social media. We're on Twitter. Our handle is Plastics Beyond. We're also on Facebook. We post a lot of interesting information. And in this age of COVID, we all need to stay healthy and support government policies like wearing masks. But we also have to be mindful that a lot of masks and gloves are being littered and becoming a water quality threat. And plastics just seem to be every part of the equation. So we think it's possible for government officials and businesses to effectively deal with the tragic consequences of COVID-19 while also maintaining environmental protection laws. Both are not, you know, it's not mutually exclusive. It's just like the climate crisis has not stopped because of COVID. Yes, there's a temporary reduction in CO2 emissions, which is great, but that's going to ease up once airplanes and cars and trucks hit the road again. The plastic issue has actually gotten worse since COVID. So we don't want to suggest at all that plastic pollution is more urgent than COVID. It's not. But we think we have capable government leaders that can handle both at the same time.
Again, Judith Enk, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alexis. Take care.